now recording.
Welcome, everybody. Appreciate your being here. And we'll get ourselves, I think we're set up with the recording. So welcome to the Tooele Valley Rural Planning Organization meeting Monday, February 12th, beginning at 1:30 in the Tooele City Hall Large Conference Room. And with that, let's go around the room and do introductions. And I'm Wayne Bagan with the Wasatch Regional Council.
Sissy Martin with Tooele County.
Larry Bollinger with Grantsville City.
Brent Marshall, Grantsville City.
Wayne Bittner, Tooele County.
Melissa Phillips, UDOT.
Walt Steinwood, UDOT Planning.
Debbie Wynn, Tooele City.
Jeff Miller, Tooele County Planning and Zoning.
Blanca Rodriguez, Tooele County.
Jim Bolser, Tooele City.
Kip Billings, Wasatch Front Regional Council.
Chris Zabrakis, UDOT Traffic Management Division. Rod Palmer, UDOT Traffic Operations.
Chad.
Chad Worthen with WFRC and
Scott Feston with Wasatch Front.
Kaisi Vollmerath with UDOT Planning.
Eldon Bagan with UDOT Planning.
Great. Well, appreciate your being here. Any comments on the December 11th meeting minutes? Anyone care to make a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Thank you. We've got a few guests here. In recognition of this next item, and Walt, correct me if I misspeak, but my understanding is that in part of the statewide modeling effort that goes on, travel demand modeling effort that goes on in preparation of the next statewide plan to be adopted in May of 19, there's a new set of population and employment forecasts that has been prepared to feed into that model. Many of you have probably seen the county level population control totals that I believe were developed last year.
Probably November-ish. Okay. So like about November-ish they came out.
Okay. And so this these forecasts that Walt will speak to are at the traffic analysis zone level. Traffic analysis zone is typically anywhere from a half mile square to a few miles square, depending on how much development is going on in that particular region. But these traffic analysis zones, the population and employment forecasts from them feed into the travel demand model or the estimates of future travel demand. So with that, we'll turn some time over to Walt.
Thank you. I'm gonna keep one of these. I hope we got enough, and when I'm finished with my package, hopefully I can give it to someone who may not have gotten it wrong. Wayne is right. We are in the midst of redeveloping our travel demand model. Those of you who've seen travel demand models, Wasatch Front has one, MAG has one, and the state of Utah has one for doing traffic forecasts out in the rural part of the state. That's the area of the state that we do the long-range planning for the state highway system. So about November, the Gardner Policy Institute came out with their county level forecast, which we take and we sub-allocate those into the TAZ components of the state travel demand model. So this is more or less the process that we use. Page one, and we're probably right now just on block one or two. Right now we're taking that sub-allocation in the TAZ structure out to the counties for review. What you'll see at the back of this is a website where we're going to ask you to go out and review. Scott and Chad are going to help us with that sub-allocation of the population in the cities and the county. That population employment is what the models use for calculating the forecasts on the state highway system. Our model, slide three, we call it USTEM. Inside USTEM, we have Wasatch Front, Mountain Land, Dixie, and Cache's model included in our model. It covers the whole state, all of the rural counties, which Chad helped us develop when he was at RSG, and now Chad's at Wasatch Front. This is fundamentally a entry-level display of what our model looks like. Long-range planning, Wasatch Front's long-range plan is a four-year cycle. They update their model every 4 years. We, in unison with the MPOs, do it as well. So we're in the final piece of doing the forecasting for the state highway system with our model. So again, we're going to be asking you to help us look at those sub-allocation components and make sure that we got it right. That's part of our vetting process. Fundamentally, this slide right here is what is the output of the model with the travel demand forecast. So those forecasts will be 2020, 2030, 2040, and 2050. So we sub-allocate the population employment to 2020, 2030, 2040 as well. In coordination with the Wasatch Front. These are the inputs page, I'm not sure page 4 or 5, I lost track, but primarily we're going to be giving you the population household level forecast as well as population household, I'm sure I don't know household, what's the other, oh, employment. Employment forecasts by TAZ, so you can look at on page 5 or 6, this page right here, there's a website that you can go into and see what those forecasts are and make comments. There's also a comment place where you can tell us adjust the number up and down. Where you think it needs to be adjusted, and we'll take care of that and get back with you when we're done. One last note, this is probably the most important thing I'm going to say. This page right here in your packet or the control totals for each city. So we want to make sure that if you see a TAZ that needs adjusting one way or the other, you find a way, we can find a way together to make sure that those totals stay the same for your city. Okay, so
I have one comment.
Okay.
Oprah is no longer a city. They disincorporated, so you probably shouldn't put them there as a city.
Which one, I'm sorry?
Oprah.
Oprah?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take care of that.
Okay.
But we want to keep these control totals as close to this number as possible. So if you're adjusting them up and down, try and make sure that you keep them consistent with what we came up with.
Can I ask why unincorporated not included on
that list? I'm sorry, say again.
Why is unincorporated not included on this list?
It is the balance of the county.
Balance.
That balance still isn't right.
That's what we're asking you for. Take a look.
Okay.
If you think it's bigger or smaller, let us know what you think it is. We'll make those adjustments.
So I'm hearing you'd welcome input on the city totals and the unincorporated total in addition to the traffic analysis on the
Right.
Stansbury is not incorporated, but they're probably our second largest community. So they're not on your list here because 4,811 is significantly higher when you include Stansbury and Lake Point.
Okay.
That was in 2015, 3 years ago.
Stansbury hasn't grown by 8,000 since then.
So Stansbury's current population is over 10 and probably closer to 12 or 13. Right.
I don't know exactly, but I just know they're larger.
Right.
I would bet that balance, that says balance on that first chart, I would bet Stansbury is close to that number by itself.
Yeah. So that's good feedback. So thank you.
That's another question I just have is, I feel like the numbers for population growth that are on here are inadequate for unincorporated areas of Tooele County. I think by 2030 will be significantly higher than just 24,885, just at the rate of growth we're seeing.
I would agree.
Subdivision applications, I just think that those numbers just seem inadequate.
Good feedback.
Wayne, are you going to be the clearinghouse for these numbers? Or?
I don't believe so. Walt, what's your preference?
What did we decide? How did we decide we're going to do that? Are you going to be the clearinghouse? Am I going to be the clearinghouse?
I will be the clearinghouse.
Scott will be the clearinghouse.
Thank you, Scott.
But if you think you want to have a big meeting, I think we can accommodate that as well.
I'm not sure we need a big meeting. We just need to get a little bit closer to the
expert. If you want us to get some kind of meeting and we can accommodate it. We'd be glad to accommodate
A couple options, right?
Yeah, before jumping and answering that question, can I just take one step back and talk about the totals by each geography? If you look at the bottom line, the county total, that number is fixed. That's the number that we received from the governor's office that was developed by GPI or Gardner's Policy Institute, right? And so what we're doing is allocating it, the county total, into the sub-areas.
Okay.
So, for instance, if the balance of the county, the unincorporated area, if it looks way too low, that can increase, but that means it'd have to come from somewhere else inside the county, so the bottom line stays the same. Okay. So it's a balancing act between all of the areas. Now, if the county as a whole is too low, there's not a lot we can do about it this time. However, that is fantastic information that we can take back and talk to GPI and say, you know what, in working with the locals, these totals just don't seem to be in line with the forecast that they're seeing. And we can entertain a discussion with them to say, maybe Tooele should be a little higher, or maybe Tooele should be a little lower. And it really does go both ways. Often Washington County is arguing for more. But this last go-around, Summit County argued for less because they had them growing by quite a lot. And they said, we have a kind of a low growth stance in our county. We're not really forecasting for that much. We think you're too high. And they had some numbers to back it up. And so GPI actually balanced theirs down from previous forecasts. But aside from that and having that conversation, we're going to try to hold to the GPI total at the county level. And so internally, inside the county, it's just a coordination with the people here in the room and their staff to say, if we're too high, let's go give it to the balance of the county. Balance of county, needs more. We're going to have to take it from Tooele over to Lissa's. We're going to grow too, so then we have to.
I think what everybody's trying to tell you is the total number is too low.
Way too low.
Nobody's arguing that they don't have more people. Yeah. They're saying your number is too low for the total. Grantsville already has over 11,000 people in it.
So the county total is too low?
Yes. 62,903 is way too low. You probably have that many just in the valley here. And that doesn't include any of the other parts of the county.
So that's good. We can double check those.
Because I think Twilla Cities is probably just about right. Sounds like Grantsville's is low. We know balance is low. I think the flaw in these charts lies in the county total.
And that very well could be. We could double check that.
At what point do we get the declaration of urban instead of rural? There are advantages for us to be rural.
So there's a couple things. Do you want to talk to that, Scott?
The Census Bureau's definition is 50,000 people and 1,000 people per square mile over that continuous geography. As we were driving in today, we were commenting on how much open space there still is between Twilla, right, Stansbury, and Grantsville. So from the census definition, my guess is not anytime soon.
To meet that
urban, yeah, that urban definition, yeah, by that strict definition.
The number 62, you're almost there, you know, in that. But it's that 1,000 people per square miles. But do you guys know, when we talk about Gardner and Policy Institute, previously the governor's office, they still own this process, but previously the governor's office did these forecasts in-house the past couple of years. They've hired the University of Utah and Gardner Policy Institute to help them with these forecasts. So when we speak about Gardner, they're under direction of the governor's office, so these are the governor's.
And while we're going to be having a new census in another couple of years.
With that said, that's really a good point. So the census is in 2 years. We do our long-range planning every 4 years. So there's new numbers from the 2020 census will come out probably around 2022. So these numbers will be adjusted accordingly to this U.S. Census. So we're at the final years of the previous census. So we do our long-range planning every 4 years. The census is coming out. So the numbers, if you will get right because of the census.
So how much work do we need to put into this prior to the census? In other words, is there an advantage in getting it as accurate as possible right now, or are we better off waiting for a more accurate count when we have the census in 2 years?
I got to chew on that just a second. The answer is that I want to get it as close to right this time so that...
It depends on the day.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious, because we've got people coming in regularly.
Yeah. I want to get it as right and know that you guys looked at it and vetted it.
Well, can I comment on that too?
Yeah.
If that's okay. So, more than just looking at the base year data to say whether that's right, it's to say, looking at the future, where do you anticipate your people going in your communities, and where are the jobs going to go in your communities? That's more important. That is to get your feedback on that. And that really will change every day.
No, I mean, seriously, it will change rapidly. That's in this valley area here, the Twilla Valley, but if you go beyond that, I'm not sure how many people are going to take residence in Wendover or the Salt Flats or most of the area in between, which is the greatest part of the county.
Right, and as we look at kind of more of this eastern side of the county, not just at the city level, but what's happening inside the city, and saying, you know, that's already fully developed, that geography. It's not going to grow very much, maybe a little bit. But this area over here, which is next to it, that's where we're going to see all the growth in the next 10 to 20 years. And then maybe over here we'll see it like 30 to 40 years. I mean, it's going to grow like that, we think, based on our plans, based on what we know, because we live here, you know, that sort of thing. That sort of information would be very valuable, so that when Walden's putting his transportation plans together, or they're running these travel models, they can reflect the latest and greatest thinking at the time. And then we can refresh these as we get better information. But it's better for you guys to have a chance to look at it and see, does it make sense to you, than to say, this was developed by someone from a 10,000-foot view. But you know, they only have so much knowledge of the area. Maybe it made sense to them at that higher resolution, but you, with the local knowledge, can say, well, that doesn't make sense, or this makes, like, you know, you should correct it here, move this over here, or something like that.
And these clarifications help quite a bit, thank you.
Yeah. Help us move that population around where you think it's going to be, where you may already be seeing where you need the future roadways and capacity in the future. Kim?
I just kind of have a comment question. Envision Utah said that the Salt Lake Valley area has very limited acreage left to develop on. And we actually out here in the Chula Valley have much more acreage to develop on. And then the other factor that plays into it is your alternative modes of transportation in the Salt Lake Valley comparatively to, Sissy does a fantastic job here, but we don't have really much like the Chula Valley does as far as daybreak. You can get into, you know, Salt Lake Valley with it. So I hope those modes and that type of projection is put into consideration, because, you know, yes, there's a bunch of apartments and things that are going on in the Salt Lake Valley, you know, in the downtown and stuff like that, but, you know, as far as those people getting to work, they have alternative modes of transportation that they can get to work in, whereas, you know, out here, our projection of, you know, what's going to be developed, I mean, there's still a lot of open space and, you know, they're going to be coming out here. So.
And a lot of that is taken into account when the governor's office, or again, as Walt said, they hired it out this time through the University of Utah's GPI group, right?
Yeah.
That's what they do, right? They look at the macro state and national economies to say how much the county is going to be. They're going to say, you know, births, deaths, in-migration, out-migration, what's happening with the jobs nationally, and what's Utah's proportion of that. So they're kind of working out all of those dynamics.
And that's a great thing.
So when it comes
out
to
and talk to Tooele County elected officials?
Well, and you have to talk to them to talk about those matters. But what we're talking about here is, okay, given that we take their, say, oh, Tooele County's this today and it's going to be this in the future for people or for employment, we're just taking that and putting it into the cities or into the tabs and say, that makes sense. Now, whether it's higher or lower, we can gather that feedback and then start having those conversations.
Yeah.
But at the moment, we're going to take it as set and then try to allocate it as best we can. So this exercise is an allocation of what Tooele County is or will be, according to the governor's office. But not saying, tell the governor's office that we're too low. That will be a second conversation if it needs to be.
Yeah.
Right. And then that can be refreshed for the plans in 3 or 4 years or something.
Yeah. So, Walt, and I think that next round, 2022, will carry more juice, and they'll get to see what's really happening because of the census. So, that adjustment that comes in 2022 will be.
And can we just add one more thing? Scott is so busy over here. He's a man of all talents. While we were discussing it, he looked up what the census estimate was for Tooele County, total population, right? Total population for 2016, and it was 61,000. So the control total at 62,000 for 2015, whatever it was, is it's about on par with those two groups, right? And so it's the future that we're really interested in. Where is that future going to be? In your area.
So, Walt, do you prefer that there are a couple of smaller group meetings to discuss these, or do you prefer to have people comment via email, looking at the website, or look at the website? There's a comment component of the website, so you can make comments that the population of this THC needs to move here, or households need to be moved around. So,
and when do you want those comments by?
I'm hoping by the end of February.
Okay.
So, is there a separate one for Tooele County?
I'm sorry.
A separate section to comment for Tooele County? I actually to do with that. And I think you can make a comment for like Utah County and Salt Lake County.
You're new as of today, so there is a that this web will take you to,
okay.
And your information is in there.
Okay, because the old one there was nothing.
Wasatch County was the first. We did that last week. You're number two on the list.
Okay.
That's
good. And the website should be zoomable, right? So like you can zoom into a certain area and click on it, and it'll show you kind of a projection out to 2050 for that area.
This is for Wasatch.
And so you can kind of pan around and zoom and get to something that seems to make sense.
So comments via the website by the end of February.
Yeah, and coordinate with Scott or me. I'm good with you giving me a buzz. But Scott's the SE data guy at Wasatch Front, so.
And can I just ask one question of the group here? When we met with Wasatch County, we didn't come to like the technical policy group like here. This is kind of more of an introduction. What we started off there was a working group with the technical staff of the different entities you can see there. So, all the different cities and the county had representatives there. And they had a table with a map with their area in this working meeting. And they spent 2 hours just going over the numbers in their area and checking them and moving things around. Would that work for your area? Do you think that would be valuable, that if we had a working group with your technical folk to say, you know, let's just review this kind of on paper? Or would the online, working with your technical staff by themselves work better? What would you prefer?
I'd prefer a working group rather than online, but because I may be six off of what Mayor Marshall has, and one of us would feel bad as a result of that. So we want to be as close as possible.
I know. Okay, whatever.
So I think a working meeting would be by far more beneficial to all of the players. I don't know whether the rural communities out in the south part, Stockton, Rush Valley, Vernon, Wendover, whether they'll attend, but maybe they could send somebody to represent them.
And certainly focusing in on the area of maybe Tooele, we can certainly focus in on the county area of the Stansbury region, right? Looking at Grantsville as its own, and then like, and just looking at the numbers there.
Do you want a working meeting? We'll make that work.
Okay. So maybe we can set that up, you know, sometime between now and 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, everybody. Welcome to Laura Hansen, UTA.
Apologies for being late. Yeah, hi, UTA. And this is Eric Helson, who's our service planning manager.
Great.
UTA.
And I don't think Kim was here for the initial introductions as well. Welcome. Great. Got a call or an email from Juan Sprudlin Lee. She had a conflict come up and is not able to be here, so we'll postpone the Mid Valley Highway item until next meeting. If there is anything that the group would like to discuss about that or communicate back to Juan, feel free to either contact her directly, she's on the email distribution list, or if you want to pass that through Brad, that would be fine as well. So, great. With that, we'll turn some time over to Melissa for the I-80 bridge replacement project.
So just a quick update on where we stand for the I-80 bridge replacement projects. We call it Black Rock. We are looking to finalize design sometime in March or April and begin construction in June. There is a slight caveat. We're going to do an early release project in April at the SR 36 flyover where we're going to do some fill and surcharge work to prepare for the upcoming construction. Surcharging, helping with the ground settlement and helping to overall prepare that project. This has also been identified as one of UDOT's top 10 construction projects for the 2018 construction season, partially because there is a planned bridge slide. And so it will be a fairly visible project. And let me check my notes. I think that's about everything. Oh, sorry. After they do the surcharging, we do expect some lane restriping, but we are not going to do any lane restrictions. There may be some ramp lane restrictions during off-peak periods, not ever during peak travel times. They're still working and vetting through that traffic plan, but that's kind of where we stand for now, is we're working through the...
So
the
commuter part won't be interrupted?
I'm not going to say it won't be interrupted, but we're going to try and minimize it as much as possible.
Okay. Would you please explain a slide bridge compared to a regular one?
They just do it like this? No. They usually... I actually am not quite clear on all the specifics on it, because it is very specific to that area, but what they do is they put it on tracks and then they move it into place. This bridge slide is a little bit different because usually they happen in a relatively quick period of time, like in a day or that sort of thing. If I've heard correctly, this will slide into place over a 3-day period.
Okay, now that will be exit 99 or the one from 201?
I'm not sure.
I believe it's exit 99.
Is
that sure? Okay.
So it would be at Lake Point then?
I believe
so. The bridge slide would be over the railroad.
Oh, really?
They're going to build exit 99 off the side and then they'll connect the ramp back into either side.
I was wrong.
So you won't have any interruption on the ramp itself.
So this is at Black Rock?
The slide is
there's two bridges that are going to be built.
Oh, all right.
The one will be 201 across the railroad tracks. The other one will be at exit 99, where they'll add one extra lane to the bridge so that in the future we can have a 201 connection to that without merging onto I-80. And so there'll be an extra lane that will be put there. That's particularly important for the homecoming traffic. So you won't have to merge. You'll just go straight on to it. And then that will also allow people to get used to the idea of going down I-80 so they can do it without slamming on the brakes like all the people do now when they sneak in.
Can't do that. Can't do that.
What?
They're going to slam on their brakes.
Oh, sorry about that. No, the truckers are really struggling because they come around there and they're going pretty good speed. They don't slow down as fast as automobiles do. So we're really appreciative of that.
Yeah, so we'll keep you updated as we finalize the details. They're still nailing down a lot of the specifics, so.
Have the alerts started coming out or messages from the team yet, or when do they anticipate?
No, we're still waiting for direction on that as to when they'd like to start alerting or notifying the public. I'm hoping sooner rather than later, especially as we're quickly approaching spring. So that's the hope.
The plan was explained to me that a bridge will be built to the side of the current exit 99 bridge. And it'll be completely constructed. And then we'll move on to that other bridge, and then the one we're currently using will be demolished after that. So working it out with the railroad, working it out with the commuters, everybody else has really been a challenge, but That's, I talked to Carlos last week, and that's what, one of the things he indicated. So we're really grateful. We're very happy to do that. Thank you, thank you. Then there's another possibility of coming off of that bridge, going in front of McDonald's, and going clear up to the D-cell lane up by Moore's. So we would add a little bit extra room on that area as well. So that's an extra $2.5 million that's being put into this project, so we really appreciate it, rather than waiting for 10 years to get it done. Now, whether they're all concurrent, I'm not sure, but on that, at least that was the last plan I heard.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions
for Melissa? No, thank you.
Melissa? Thank you. Appreciate that. Near-term priorities, you may recall about a little over 2 years ago, the RPO, this group came up with a list of 7 near-term priorities, and I just wanted to briefly talk about the status of those. And also, in addition to talking about the status of these 7, if there's need for discussion or dialogue here about these, also ask for input on any additional priorities, near-term priorities. So the first one there, alternative ways to get in and out of the valley. I'll just share my limited knowledge, and then others in the room can talk about things in more detail. My understanding is that the UDOT Region 2 has been looking at a couple of pretty specific design options for tying the SR-201 extension. So this is a 3-lane facility just south of I-80. I mean, immediately south of I-80 from 201, connecting to 201, and then connecting to 36 on the west end. And my understanding is that they're completing some evaluation of a couple alternatives for connecting on the west end. And right now, it looks like the earliest that improvement could get funding would be 2025. And just given that the main source of funds is the Transportation Investment Fund, and that's programmed out currently through 2024. But they are have been making some headway on evaluating options for tying that in on the west end. Any other information or conversation, questions, comments that you'd like to
talk they're about? They're looking at alternate ways to reduce the congestion right in front of the, all of the businesses there right now, possibility of going in back. But we looked at 7 different scenarios and reduced it down to 3. So far, and then they're still evaluating that, and that'll take a little bit longer. But the exciting part is they're doing it.
Yep.
I mean, that's really exciting. We don't have to wait to 2040. And I will not be a commissioner in 2040. So I'd like to get it done a little earlier.
Very good. Thank you. Safer pedestrian and cyclist access across and along the SR-36 corridor. I know a couple places, downtown Tooele and up by Stansbury, that there was some initial conversation about, but I don't know the latest on progress that's been made or needs that are still out there and that haven't been addressed.
Wayne, we're looking at the adoption of the Tooele Valley Pathway and suggestions for SR 36 down in the Lake Point, Stansbury, Verna area. I'm also trying to see if through UDOT with Heidi, if we could get some funding, and even through Wasatch Front Regional Council, and I've talked to Mayor Wynn about connecting onto that Tooele Valley Pathway somehow for Tooele City. And then I'd also love to looking at Grantsville as well to adopt similar and same plans as the Tooele Valley Pathway. So, I'm actively trying to work on that, and we'll try to keep working on those.
Do you have information that could be sent to the group about the Tooele Valley Pathway?
Yes, we will be meeting this Thursday, and so a draft could possibly be sent out concerning.
Okay.
So, I don't know how soon the adoption is being looked at by planning or commissioners. So
okay.
It needs to be presented first. So.
Right. Okay. Great. Any other comments about safety or various pedestrian and cyclist needs?
I just will say thank you to UDOT for the added light that is being put on at Stansbury Parkway and SR 138. That is very appreciative of the whole community. And so if UDOT or anybody would like some thank you letters, I have a whole community that is willing to light your emails up with thank you for that stoplight being put in place, especially with the school on the other side. And we're still actively trying to get funding for the underpass, because even though the stoplight will have pedestrian, we still would like an alternate route for young people to just totally stay away from that area.
Other comments on that second one? All right. Reducing the crown on Grantsville's Main Street. Mayor, do you want to talk a bit about that? Or
yes. I know that there's been some additional funding put towards 138 dealing with flood control issues as Main Street acts as a dam with the water flowing south going to the north. We still are not addressing the crown. Even when I talked with Brian, he goes, well, maybe we can rotomill 4 inches and replace 3. The crown in the road, when you get a Church Street and Orchard Street, if you're on Orchard Street, you can't see the car on Church Street going across Main Street. And it's the same if you're on the other side of the road. I get numerous complaints all the time from some of the property owners along Main Street that there is such a steep dip to get into their driveways that their vehicles hit on the back. Some of them, they won't even park a trailer in their yard, because to get a trailer into their yard, they'll rip the sewer lines and that from underneath completely off. I've had that happen with some of them. We had the same issue on Hell Street, and when we redid Hell Street, we took a bunch of fill out of Hell Street, and it made it a lot better for some of those people, making it a little more flat. But the crown on Main Street in Grantsville, I know the engineers are going to be out Tuesday and Thursday, and for whatever reason, nobody wants to address this crown, and the crown is, it's as much of the problem as anything else there. It's very much very similar to what Tooele City went through, and I was going to accuse Wade of taking $2.5 million of our project for over in Lake Point. But
don't go do that. I live in Grantsville, and the crown is about that high or higher.
It's something that really needs to be addressed.
The only advantage is there's no cracks in it, because you've got about 2.5 feet of asphalt. You know, if we could take some of that out.
No, we got 6 inches of asphalt, and it's falling apart because your gravel trucks are going down there tearing the road to pieces. But this crown is I know we've discussed this numerous times, but the crown of the road is a real issue, and I understand that there's not a lot that can be done in certain areas, but there are some areas, especially when you get from around the Bowery Street area going east until you get down to Willow Street, where that crown is, it's a real problem. There's only one way to fix this, and I understand some of the road might end up with a slight taper on it to be able to blend into the additional streets, but that crown on the road, I'll bet you if you measured it on Main Street into Orchard Drive, is probably close to 5 feet. I'm dead serious. If you have a car on Orchard Drive and you're on Church Street, you won't see it. It just flat disappears. That crown is that bad. And Brian was going to be out Thursday with the design engineers. Brad knows we're not. This isn't a BS story. It needs to be addressed bad. I know that we're 10 years out from the time the road will even be addressed once they do this resurfacing project. But somebody needs to back up and say, hey, we have a real issue here, and see if we can't do something with some of it. On the edge of the road, I will agree with you, the asphalt is fairly thick there. As we've had to repair the water lines, we'll go through anywhere from 8 to 12 inches of asphalt with the different overlays that have been done. But something needs to be done there, Wayne. I don't know what we do, how we address this, how we get more money. They did offer us additional $250,000 for flood control issues, and I know that we'll consume that and probably more.
Thank you. Appreciate that update, and I'm glad you're in conversation with Region 2, and we'll all have to put on our thinking caps and let's see if we can come up with any creative funding or solutions. So, all right. Number 5, pedestrian facilities on roads without shoulders. Any comments or questions on that one?
I'd like to input with the Tooele Valley Pathway. We're looking at putting in possibility of impact fees for new development, okay. And especially in the unincorporated areas where curb and gutter are not included in some of the development. So I think it would, you know, be nice if, you know, other jurisdictions would look into that too. It's written right within Utah code that it's legal to put in impact fees, and you know, some people are like, well, the developers won't want to pay them. Well, you know what, tough luck. Guess what, there's nowhere else for them to build. They can pay the impact fees if they're coming out here, and they can help with our infrastructure if they're coming out here, because you know that's so. I mean, I think that the county and the city should look into putting some impact fees imposed on new development. Now, as far as, you know, existing roads, maybe there's a policy that can be put in place that, you know, each time a road is approached and, you know, that somehow funding is addressed or looked into to try to help accommodate that. One question I do have with this, with Wasatch Front Regional Council and with the RPO out here and the funding available, every time I approach Wasatch Front Regional Council about funding to try to apply for, they say that I have to do what's allocated to the RPO out here in Tooele County. So it's just a little frustrating because I sat in on a meeting where a Utah County representative said, you know, oh, they had $4 million appropriated for one project. That's great, but you know, I don't know why Tooele County can't be a allowed to be part of that same funding, and we only have a limited amount of funding.
So then, yeah.
I wish there was some way that could be looked into, because I've tried to apply for funding and tried to get the funding, but I keep getting told, no, you can't apply for it because you're a Tooele County, or Tooele County only has a...
Sure.
So I don't know if this group could look into that, why that funding's allocated the way it's allocated, why...
I can tell you why. It's by federal formula, and...
Because of rural?
Well, because urbanized areas are allocated funding through the MPOs. It's true that Wasatch Front is the MPO, and we're providing staff support for the RPO, but the county and the two cities are paying for that staff support. The federal formula dictates that the MPOs are responsible for allocating funding for the urbanized areas, and that goes back to the conversation we were having at the beginning of the meeting, that in order to be part of an urbanized area, your population has to be over 50,000 and your density has to be, what was it?
1,000.
And the distance between those population density clusters can only be something small.
It's voodoo.
Okay. But it's all census and federal determined, and so it's out of our control. The funding sources that are available for Tooele County infrastructure include local funds and the federal funds administered through UDOT, Safe Routes to School, the Transportation Alternatives funds the Safe Routes to School statewide, the Transportation Alternative Program funds that are statewide, the Small Urban Surface Transportation Program, and the Non-Urban Surface Transportation Program. And then beyond that, it's basically working through the legislature. And I probably missed a pot or two, but anyway.
So it's nothing that could be reevaluated or reassessed?
No. Sometimes
it works to our advantage.
I agree. Sometimes it does. I get a little frustrated when I'm like,
sure.
You know, I see
sure.
this funding, which I know there's a bigger population there, but yeah, they also have, you know, I mean, we have 30,000 employees that are adding to Salt
yep.
Lake County,
yep.
you know, and going to lunch every day there, and, you know,
right.
so.
And I should clarify, if it's an improvement that is mostly impacts the travel between Tooele or between Stansbury or between Grantsville and Salt Lake Valley or the broader Wasatch Front, then that is likely eligible. Just like the Stansbury Park and Ride,
right.
most of that was funded through Wasatch Front Regional Council administered funds. Those improvements that impact the travel between the two areas are eligible for funds administered through the MPO. So.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
Let's see. Numbers.
Wayne has a kind of question in general about MPO development. If this area grew to that size, it would be its own MPO.
Well,
or likely, or would Wasatch Front, would that grow now?
There would be some political discussions that needed to take place. They could probably either become part of the MPO that currently exists, or they could form their own MPO. I think both options would probably be good. All right. Safety improvements at the intersection of Utah Ave and SR 112. Anybody want to comment on that?
Which one is that?
So on Tooele's Main Street.
So that this is actually
Industrial Loop Road.
1000.
So a signal was put in there.
Signal was put in, and that has helped dramatically.
Okay. Are there still improvements safety issues.
There's always improvements, Wayne.
Yeah, I know.
Way to go.
So the signal has helped a lot.
Dramatically, yes.
Okay. Anything worth bringing up with the group?
As far as future needs?
Right.
I don't think at this point, unless you can think of something, Mayor.
No, thank you.
Well, thank you and whoever else was responsible. Improvements at the intersection of Quirk Street and SR 138.
I think the only way you're going to improve that, Wayne, is to put the stoplights there.
What are the improvements? Like the access to the north side?
Yeah, well, during the school time of the year, those 9 months, that intersection is the busiest intersection next to 112 and 138. And you have those people coming out of those convenience stores there, kids trying to get across the street, of course, when you got water issues, you just compound everything. I think the only way to resolve that, it's been on the list for a street light, and I think the only way you're going to resolve it is to put the street light in and do that three-way. I don't know whether UDOT can force Solberg's to shut down their east driveway. We did put the sign up on their property that it was only a right-hand turn, but you'll still have people come out of there. They didn't graduate from school because they can't read, and they'll make a left-hand turn. There's so much activity there in such a short spot. I think the only way that you can resolve it is to put the street light in there, and maybe when they do the mill and fill on Main Street, they eliminate that east driveway with the gutter there so that they can't come out on that east side of Solberg's because it's so close to that crosswalk there. It's offset, and I think that's the only way you're going to resolve that mess. Somebody wants to do a study there to try to figure that out. I can say this much, the crosswalk has been a lifesaver for a lot of them kids.
Thank you. Any other discussion on that number seven? All right. Just pointed out, I skipped over number four. Obviously, things are progressing there. We'll hear more from Lon on number four at the next meeting. To be respectful of people's time, my recommendation would be to not open up a discussion today. We'll save it for next meeting, if that's all right, for adding to this list. But if the group would like to go ahead and tackle that today, we'll stick around.
I'd like to add one to the list.
Okay.
Burma Street.
Okay. And improving the roadway?
Yes. Burmester has taken, if it wasn't for Burmester, your intersection in Lake Point would be a disaster. There is so many people from Grantsville that now do not commute that way unless they have to catch the bus at the park and ride over there in Stansbury Park. They use the Burmester interchange rather than going through and over to the Lake Point.
Okay.
So Burmester needs some help.
Okay. Thank you.
Both on the city and the county side.
Okay. We're working on it.
We're working on that. If you just loan me $2 million, I'll do it this year.
Well, you'd already got $2.5 million.
Okay. So taking the top 10 off.
Let's get this debt incurred. I'm out of here.
All right. Any others that anybody wants to bring up at this point?
I just have the possibility of suggestions for like some pedestrian cross areas along 36.
Twilla City, south of Twilla City, north of Twilla City, Lake Point, we're
pretty much unincorporated area. Okay. I think we're okay with there's pedestrian buttons and pretty much everything in.
Okay.
Twilla
Thank
City.
You.
All right. I mean, I know they don't like that, but the reality is people do cross those roads.
Okay.
Walking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Good. Anything else on that item? If not, let me just hit a couple things quickly under other business before I open it up broader. Statewide Safe Routes to School program. If you haven't seen the announcement, applications for that are due March 14th. I will forward to this group that announcement. But wanted to mention that. And also, you might be aware, and if Brad wants to elaborate on this, the state, there's no funding appropriated yet. But the state is seeking funding, UDOT is seeking funding to do an auxiliary lane westbound I-80 between SR-201 and SR-36, which should help along with the redoing of the structure at 36, should help with the evening backing. So, and then, have hard copies of this.
Wayne, is there anything as a community we can help do for any of that? Like,
Brad, what do you think?
With any of what?
With any of the applications for more funding, like, you know, do you want statements? Do you want, you know, anything that the community can help do?
No. As far as that particular project, where we're at, we're seeking approval from transportation solution money for that. So we've got it in our proposed FYP for the next few years. I think that one falls in 2020. Don't quote me on that year, but I think it's 2020. So the kind of to back up a little bit, the game plan we have going forward is we're trying to get a third southbound lane on SR-36 from the ramp to just past Sunset. And that one will cost about $1 million. We're trying to get that one, we're going to commission this week to get that approved to roll it into the Black Rock project. So that'll happen this summer. The second phase of that would be to get this auxiliary lane approved, and we put that in our STIP plan. And so we'll be seeking $2.5 million for that. And then right after that is when Mid Valley Highway would begin construction to come online. So between those three projects, we feel like we're going to be getting a lot better operation at Lake Point Interchange, and of course, when Big Valley comes up. So additional letters, things like that, at this point, we're already there.
Are you?
Yeah. Thank you.
Great. Many of you, if you're not on the mailing list and want to be, please holler. This coming round is Wasatch Front's legislative tracker. So bills relating to transportation, land use, air quality, and there are a few other items of interest to local governments on here. But if you want to be on that distribution, email distribution list.
Are you squinting, Brad?
And currently aren't.
Are you squinting?
Let us know.
I don't even want to try.
It is online.
Yeah, it is online. I don't want to try either. I'll just make, I'm only going to note two bills in particular. House Bill 182, there's a proposal for doing a tax or allowing local governments rather to implement what's the word? To pass a tax on sand pit or gravel pit operators. And then the second one I want to mention, here's a brief summary of Senate Bill 136. And this is coming out of the Transportation Governance and Funding Task Force. And so many of you have probably been involved in those discussions. So there's more detail with this summary on that Senate Bill 136. Lanice Davenport in our office is our main point of contact for legislation up on the Hill. And so you'd be welcome to contact her for more additional information. So.
Real quick, does UDOT realize the implications of the prison on I-80 and the gravel trucks will be traveling along there in both directions going? I mean, they're already going to the Salt Lake International Airport, but yep. I mean, the impact, because they're talking about that the overpasses are like falling apart, but I mean, that infrastructure there is probably going to be really hammered with how much bill that they're going to need for the prison. So.
I'm confident that they are aware of that.
Okay.
So thank you. Very good. Anybody else have additional items for other business?
I know I'm not an official member of the group, visitors, but may I put in a plug for the census? I hope that the local governments have signed up to participate in the LUCA program. It is too late to register now, but that's the review of the addresses by the local governments to assure an accurate mailing list come census days. So you start to see a lot more communication from the Census Bureau here now. We're 2 years out from the census. Back to our discussion on the numbers. Count everybody once, and count them in the right place. So that's how we do it. Thanks for everything you do.
Great, thank you. Thanks again. Appreciate your participation. Next meeting is currently scheduled for Monday, April 9th. Same time, same place.
Dang water now. You need to
substitute. What was the date? April what? What was the next
one? April 9th.
If you did not see the roll or the attendance sheet, please put your name down.
Okay, well, let me just go back to Green.
Never heard anything back from white email. Yeah. Okay, what's going on?
ECCDM.
Okay, yeah. We're working on something, getting this stuff put together.
Good question.
As soon as I see it.
How are you? Do you want to comment?